Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to rainy life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to rainy life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to rain,
say.
Born to rain
life. I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm dancing for
sing it like
life.
You believe it.
Born to rain.
Born to rain
life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for
circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na, 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 woyo. I'm no ordinary, ordinary. No, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win, born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You are destined, created by God for greatness. Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you are our loving Father. You're not just our God and our defender, but you are our Father. And so we say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for sending Jesus to come and die for us, so that we would not be victims on the earth. So, Jesus, we love you this morning. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, that every believer is never alone, that we have a comforter, we have a counselor, we have an advocate, we have a guide, we have a strengthener, we have a standby, we have an intercessor, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our midst this morning. You are our teacher. So teach us this morning. Speak to us this morning. Speak to us individually. Speak to us collectively. Let the word that someone needs go forth today. Let each one hear exactly what they need for the next step that they have to take, for the answer that they're looking for. And to you, Father God, we give all the glory. To you, we give all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church says, amen. Open your mouth now and begin to give God thanks. He woke you up this morning in sound mind. He woke you up with a heart to hear his word. Come on, give him thanks. He's been watching over you and keeping you. Come on, open your mouth and give him thanks. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank him for your family, your career, your businesses, your talent. This is our year of dominion. Thank him that you are in dominion. It is your heritage in Christ. Dominion is your heritage as a child of God. Thank him. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Father, we return this morning as one man, one voice to say thank you. Every good thing in our lives has come from you. Every challenge we face, we know, oh God, that we are already overcomers. And so there's nothing that can come into our lives that we're not able to overcome. And so we say thank you, Father. We praise you for it. We honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray this prayer, and you'll just follow me on it. The prayer will be, Father, thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through this year, 2019 and beyond. And so God has assured us by his word that he will protect us and our loved ones. And so with the anchor scripture, we're going to anchor that prayer on this verse of scripture, Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Come on, let's begin to thank him. Father, thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through this year, 2019 and beyond. Come on, thank him. Father, we thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through the year 2019 and beyond. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through this year 2019 and beyond. Come on, thank you from the depths of your heart. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through this year 2019 and beyond. Mighty God, King of glory, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through the year 2019 and beyond. Come on, begin to thank him. Father, we thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through the year 2019 and beyond. The Lord has promised to protect us going out and coming in. He's promised to give his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Come on. Father, thank you for the assurance of divine protection over our lives and that of our families all through the year 2019 and beyond. Come on, let's thank him in the spirit. Let's drive it in the spirit. Lord, we thank you for it. Mighty God, we praise you for it. King of glory, we worship you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord. Come on, begin to thank him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you have a testimony, just hit one on your keypad, and we'll give you an opportunity to share. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. You are wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord. Yes, you are wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. Come on, sing it. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. You are wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord. Yes, you are wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord. So, Lord, I praise you. I praise you. O Lord, I worship you. I worship you. O Lord, in my life, I see what you're doing one more time. I see what you're doing in my life. Oh, in my life. Let's just begin to thank you. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. Thank you, God, for your mighty hand at work in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Let's take another prayer of intercession. And this will be a prayer for our nation. And we're going to pray. You don't have this prayer guidelines, but don't worry, you can follow me on it. And we're going to be praying from 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2. The prayer is, Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. And for those of us who live in the United States, you know the importance of that prayer. But this is a prayer that you can pray whatever nation you're in. Pray this prayer with us this morning. And we're going to be anchoring that prayer on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So come on, let's pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Come on, let's pray that prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, pray from the depths of your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Come on, pray from the depths of your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant wisdom to the leaders of this nation to steer the ship of this nation towards peace and prosperity in these perilous times. Let's pray it in the spirit now. Lord, we praise you. Father, we thank you for it. Mighty God, we praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's listen to this documented testimony. Healed of breast cancer. Healed of breast cancer. One moment. She says, I was diagnosed of breast cancer on May 20th, 2015. I traveled out of the country for treatment. After the full course of the treatment in January 2016, the doctors saw lesions in my lungs and breast, which had become bigger when compared with the previous scan. This confused all the medical persons involved, and I was told to start another round of chemotherapy. I refused and told them if the first one did not work, there is no chance that the second round would work. Meanwhile, about 8 million naira had already been spent treating me, and that translates into $24,800. So I knew that this was now between God and I. I therefore engaged in kingdom advancement prayers and prayed all the 60 prayer points every day. I went for outreaches, sharing tracts, come and meet the God who healed me of cancer. Meanwhile, my breast was burning with pain, and I had reduced in weight from 85 kg to 59 kg, and that would be 187 pounds, she reduced to 130 pounds. Yet I did not give up. I told myself that this is the last straw that is needed to break the camel's back. I hadn't been to Canaan land this year, But I came to church with two people for that service, with my faith fully charged. On Tuesday, March 15, 2016, I went to scans and a series of blood tests. To the glory of God, all the things that were seen in the previous scan in January 2015 were no longer there. My health is totally, I'm sorry, all the things that were seen in the previous scan in January 2016 were no more there. My health is totally restored. I am healed. God's word never fails. And the testifier is Asioma Mbagu. Asioma Mbagu. To God be all the glory. You know, prophetic instructions don't make sense. We talked about that. Like praying kingdom advancement prayers. Like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, praying for the church to grow, praying for people to be saved. You know, how's that going to take care of me? But, I was in the covenant room the other day, and that's, you know, our place of business at the church. And with one of the young ladies, I don't know if I shared this or not, but she and her husband, they had been waiting for the fruit of the womb for some time and finally decided that they were going to engage, you know, in outreaches, meaning, you know, telling people about Christ, reaching out with tracts and stuff. And she said what they decided, like every day after work, Monday to Friday, they would come home after work, meet each other, and, you know, have their flyers and everything, jump in the car, and they had, like, a few spots that they would go to. Every, like, a religious. It was just like that. Like, that became their second job. It became a part-time job. And they just did that. And the seventh week, you know, she didn't even know she was pregnant, actually. She's a nurse and had just done a pregnancy test for someone, and the thing that she used is, you know, she threw away whatever she had to throw in, and she put something in her pocket and forgot that she had it in her jacket, her work jacket, when she came home. So it was also, you know, something that she could use to test for herself. And she just decided to test herself and saw that she was pregnant. She was so excited she didn't even believe it. She didn't believe it. She told her husband. But it was late at night, and she wanted to go back out. She wanted to go to the drugstore to get another thing so she could prove it. The husband said, no, you're not going anywhere this hour tonight. So as soon as day broke, you know, as soon as the morning came, she ran to the drugstore to get yet another one. Let me test this thing. And sure enough, she was pregnant. And they have a beautiful little girl now. But I was so delighted to hear that story. You know, sometimes we're too comfortable for what we're looking for. You understand? Sometimes we're too comfortable for what we're looking for. You know, we want everything to line up neatly and nicely. And we want to do, you know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Well, let's pray this other prayer now. We're going to take this prayer. Well, I'll give you the prayer, and then I'll tell you the scripture that we're going to anchor it on. And the prayer is, Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love and boldness so I can pursue souls with passion until they are saved and established in the faith. Come on, let's pray that prayer. And I'm going to give you the anchor scripture is Jude chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. And so we're going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love. You have to have love to go after souls. You have to have love to pray kingdom advancing prayers. Because the devil will tell you, well, when am I going to pray for my stuff? You know, what about me? And so that's what happens. Many of us get stagnant because we're so busy praying for ourselves, you see, and we're concerned about our lives. And I don't know if you've noticed, but once you get through something, there's something else, and then there's something else. And if it's not your something else, then it's somebody close to you that's a something else. And so at what point do you seek first the kingdom? Because that's where the blessing is. That's where the instruction is. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And all these other things will be added onto you. And that's a scriptural instruction. Father, you understand me? That's a scriptural instruction. But when do you get to do that? When do you go visit the sick? When do you go to hand out tracts? When do you go to tell people about Christ? When are you doing that? When are you doing that? You see, you'll never do it. And because you'll never do it, you'll just stay in that, you'll stay on that one level, never breaking through to the realms that you desire. So come on, let's pray with understanding now. Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love and boldness so I can pursue souls with passion until they are saved and established in the faith. Come on, Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love and boldness so I can pursue souls with passion until they are saved and established in the faith. Father God, come on, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love and boldness so I can pursue souls with passion until they are saved and established in the faith. Father God, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of love so I can pursue souls with passion until they are saved and established in the faith. Come on, begin to thank him for it. Lord, I thank you for it. Mighty God, I praise you for it. King of glory, I honor you. I worship you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I went to visit one of us who has a loved one. And I went to visit the loved one with someone I know too very well, you know, growing up. And when I got off the train, I wasn't sure where to go. I wasn't sure of my direction. And so I just stopped this young lady and I said, do you know where this hospital is? You know, I'm looking for. So she said, yeah. So you got to go this way. She said, you know what? Let me just walk you. And this young lady just literally, because I had to go around the block. I had to go around the block, catch a bus to go down. She walked with me. And it wasn't a short little walk. I mean, you know, like she went out of her way to walk with me around the corner to the bus stop. And then thank God when we got there, the bus wasn't there yet. So she said, I said, wow, you know, thank you so much. I said, you know, what church? And then immediately it came to me. I'm so glad it did. I said, what church you go to? I said, I know you go to some church. Oh, she said, yeah, you know, I used to go, but I don't really have been going. I said, come on, let's pray. Right there at the bus stop, I grabbed her hand. And I just prayed for her, you know, thanking God for her, for her life, you know, for the generosity of spirit that she had to walk with me, you know. And she, between that time, I found out she had children. So, of course, I prayed for the children. And then we started talking. I said, what church you used to go to? And she told me the church she used to go to. I said, well, why'd you stop? She didn't even know why she stopped. You see, the devil drags people out. They don't even know why. And that's a great church, actually, in Brooklyn there. And she loved the church. I said, so she gave me her number. You know, we started texting yesterday. You know, I promise I'm going to meet with her. We're going to have lunch and then take her to the prayer meeting or take her to that church. You know, because we want people, you know, our job is to reconcile men back to God. Do you understand me? That's our job. That's our job. It's not just a big house and a big car. We're supposed to be, the lost is all around us. We miss opportunities constantly because why? He has us so concerned about ourselves. He has us so concerned about ourselves that we don't reach out beyond our little four walls. You see? And so I give God thanks for her life. And I give God thanks for the boldness, you know, because I think that's the other thing that many of us miss sometimes is the boldness, you know, the boldness and enough love. Enough love. Get your mind off of you and put it on somebody else. Somebody is in more trouble than you, you know, and let's be passionate. Don't let this year end without you leading somebody to Christ. Who did you lead to Christ this week? Who have you prayed the prayer of salvation with this week? Outside of your little church. Who? You know, we get comfortable in our little churches sometimes. You know, just the four of us on the choir and the four of us in the pews and the four of us in the prayer meeting. And we're just so cushy with just us four. You think God just saved you for just you four? No. Seek first the kingdom. And everything that you're gathering and pray for me, everything that you're gathering to pray for me about will be added onto you like a dream in the night. Teaching that we started last week. Kingdom prosperity. Let's take a look at that. I'm going to review some of what we did last week and press through my sincere ambition is to get through all of it today. And with God's grace, I believe we can. What I'm not going to do is take time to read all the scriptures. So I'm going to give you the scriptures because, you know, we don't preach or teach anything as winners without backing it up with the word. So you can feel free to come back in, you know, download this download the podcast to your devices, or whatever, or if you're not able to take the notes now, but I'm not going to read the scriptures as I often tend to do because there's a lot of them in this particular teaching and I want to get through it today. Kingdom prosperity, and our purpose here for teaching on this, it's one of our classes at Winners Chapel, one of our courses that we give in one of our early courses. And so with that grace upon my life and with that privilege given to me by Winners Chapel, I'm going to share that with you now. Kingdom prosperity. Our purpose for this is to help the students understand and know God's will concerning financial prosperity, to help the students understand the fundamental truths about financial prosperity, to help the students understand that financial prosperity in the kingdom is the product of covenant practice. To know the purpose for kingdom wealth is the next reason. To know the purpose for kingdom wealth and learn the avenues for kingdom prosperity. Our perspective, number one, it is possible. And we have that back up from Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. 3 John 2. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3, and 3 John 2. No matter your financial position to date, you can still prosper. The second perspective, it is by choice. It is by choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Everything in the kingdom is by choice. Number three, our third perspective, it is by obedience. It is by obedience. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. The foundation for financial prosperity, the foundation for financial prosperity, revelation, number one, revelation. Number two, covenant connection. Number three, consecration. Number four, dedication. Revelation, John 22, verses 21 to 30. Looking at Revelation, John 22, verses 21 to 30. It takes the word to be truly delivered from shame, lack, and want. John 8, verse 32. Proverbs 13, verse 8. John 8, verse 32. Until you lay up his word, you cannot lay up gold. Job 22, verses 22 and 24. Job 22, verses 22 and 24. Your treasures in life are determined by his word in your heart. Your treasures in life are determined by his word in your heart. Proverbs 24, verse 4. Proverbs 24, verse 4. The word is the key that gives access to financial prosperity. The word is the key that gives access to financial prosperity. Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 19. Let me just say this. One of the unique things about Winners Chapel worldwide, all the churches worldwide, everything is debt-free. So every business transaction is done in cash, right? You know, the churches we have here in New York, all over the world, you know, we have churches in Houston, everywhere. The churches are debt-free. Supernatural wealth. Amazing. You go to Nigeria, where the headquarters is, huge, huge, humongous debt-free, you know. And so there's something to know. There's something to know and something to understand. Financial prosperity is not a matter of luck. It is a matter of light. Financial prosperity is not a matter of luck. It is a matter of light. Covenant connection. Covenant connection. In other words, being connected to the covenant. We have an agreement with God, and as you stay connected, Deuteronomy, here are your scriptures. Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 10 and 18. Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 to 10. And verse 18, verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. Jeremiah 33, 20 to 21. Jeremiah 33, 20 to 21. And as I said earlier, I won't be reading all the scriptures in the interest of time. So if this is a topic that you're interested in, then sit down with your Bible and, you know, just go over them and let light come into you on this particular matter. Abraham, Genesis, Abraham, we're looking at the fathers now, Abraham's covenant connection, Genesis 12, 9 to 10, Genesis 12, 9 to 10, Genesis 13, verse 2, Genesis 13, verse 2, Genesis 17, 1 to 7, Genesis 24, verse 1, Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 1, Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14, Jacob, Genesis 30, verse 27, Genesis 30, 37 to 43, with 42, verse 1, Joseph, Genesis 39, verse 2, Genesis 41, 53 to 56. You, your covenant connection. Galatians 3, 13 to 16. Galatians 4, 28. The requirements for kingdom prosperity. Number one, be born again. Number one, be born again. Number two, have a working knowledge of the covenant. Have a working knowledge of the covenant. John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32. Consecration, Psalm 1, 1 and 3, 1 to 3. Praise the Lord, blesses the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. But it starts with, praise the Lord, blesses the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Right? So he's consecrated. The next point under consecration, kingdom financial prosperity is only for the righteous. Isaiah 3, verse 10. Purity is the foundation for financial dignity. Purity is the foundation for financial dignity. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Only financial investment done in righteousness has a future. Only financial investment done in righteousness has a future. Malachi 3, verse 3 to 4. Sin, financial destiny. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Dedication. Dedication. One, dedication is the pathway to distinction. Psalm 1, verse 3. Psalm 1, verse 3. It also means, number two, it also means to be planted or stuck to the kingdom of God. I like that. It also means to be planted or stuck to the kingdom of God. Psalm 92, verse 13. Affection. Affection. Delightsome commitment. Number one, your love for God determines your blessings. Again, Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. And number two, under affection, you cannot love God and miss good. You cannot love God and miss good. Psalm 34, verse 10. Misconceptions about wealth. Let's look at that. Misconceptions about wealth. Reason equals ignorance. Right? Reason equals ignorance. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Right? So misconceptions about wealth. Oftentimes, people look into reason with their own mind, and reasoning not based on the word of God equals ignorance. The solution under misconceptions about wealth, what is the solution? Revelation. Revelation. Get light. And that, let's look at John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Some misconceptions include, one, it is the root of all evil. That's one of the misconceptions that people have about wealth and money. It is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And as we know, when we read that scripture, it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but rather the love of money, right? Another misconception, number two, is that it corrupts holiness. It corrupts holiness. That's what people think. But our scripture is Luke 18:25. Mark 10:24-25. God is holy, yet very prosperous. Right? So obviously, wealth does not corrupt holiness, because God is holy, yet very prosperous. Number three, a third misconception, is that it's worldliness, right? Is that it's worldliness. But the streets of heaven are paved with gold, and yet heaven is not worldly. The streets of heaven are paved with gold, and yet heaven is not worldly. So these are some of the misconceptions that we have that can be holding us back from prospering. The laws of seed time and harvest. Let's take a look. The laws of seed time and harvest. Everything operates by laws. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Law number one, sowing. Law number one, sowing. Number one, let's call this one A. It mandatorily precedes harvest, right? So sowing mandatorily precedes harvest, 22. Sowing, it produces after its kind. It produces after its kind. Galatians 6:7. Sowing is a covenant practice. Sowing is a covenant practice. 2 Samuel 24:24. And Proverbs 3:9. And the fourth point, under sowing, the law, we've been looking at the law one, sowing. It is governed by what, how, and where. It is governed by what, how, and where. So what are you sowing? How are you doing it? Where are you doing it? Deuteronomy 14:22-26. Deuteronomy 14:22-26. Deuteronomy 12:13-14. Law number two. The dispersal principle. Proverbs 11:24-26. Proverbs 11:24-26. It is made up of two major perspectives. One, generous and liberal giving, Deuteronomy 15:7-8. And number two, servicing various needs of the kingdom. So the law number two, dispersal principle, is made up of two major perspectives. Number one, generous and liberal giving, Deuteronomy 15:7-8. And number two, servicing various needs of the kingdom. Giving avenues of the kingdom, let's take a look at that. Giving avenues of the kingdom, number one, tithe. Number two, free will offering. Number three, profit offering. Number four, project offering. Number five, welfare, meaning giving to the less privileged. These are five of the giving avenues of the kingdom. Let's look at tithe. Genesis 14:17-20. Genesis 14:17-20. Tithe is from the Hebrew word masorah, meaning one-tenth. Genesis 18:10-22. What to tithe? Let's look at that. What to tithe? All increases should be tithed. Deuteronomy 14:22. Deuteronomy 14:22. Who should tithe? Every born-again Christian is to pay tithe. So who is it paid? To God. Leviticus 27:30. Malachi 3:8. Where is it paid? A church or ministry where you receive your nourishing. Soul by the riverside. Nehemiah 10:38. How it is paid? Present it honorably. Learn to also prophesy on it. Give thanks and give it with excitement. Deuteronomy 26:2-11. And so learn to prophesy on it. And so you're not just throwing it in the basket. You've prayed over it before or at home or wherever, and declaring, you know, what it's to do, you know, what this is to do, what you want it to come back to you as. Why is it paid? Why is the tithe paid? It is a commandment, and it provides supernatural blessings. It is a commandment, and it provides supernatural blessings. Malachi 3:8-12. Free will offering. Free will offering. Malachi 3:8. Galatians 6:6-7. 1 Timothy 6:17-18. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. 2 Samuel 22:25. And you can always come back into the archive and listen to this again or download it to your devices. It is a commandment. So free will offering, it is a commandment. Deuteronomy 16:16. Exodus 23:15. Exodus 34:20. It must be of a willing heart. It must be of a willing heart. 2 Corinthians 8:11-12. 2 Corinthians 8:11-12. Exodus 35:5. Make it a choice. Genesis 4:3-5. Genesis 4:3-5. Malachi 1:7-8. You know, listen to me. Obviously, you see why I'm not going through the scriptures, right? Because I have so many. And basically, that's how we teach at Winners. You know, I teach another class, one of the foundation classes, and, you know, for new converts and new members. And, you know, we back up everything with a lot of scripture. So obviously, you see why I don't have time to read every scripture. But if anybody were to sit down and go through all of this from A to Z, it would radically shift your consciousness on money. It would radically shift your prosperity consciousness. Do you hear me? See, a lot of times we're doing it out of duty, and it's religion, and, you know, you're not seeing results or not seeing what you think you should be seeing, and there's a lot of fear behind it. But if you were to go back in and sit down with this and just go through and make it your assignment that, you know what, this month, you know, before this month ends or between now and the next 30 days, I'm going over these scriptures one by one. You cannot have the same consciousness. It's not possible. It will radically shift. And because that shift, you see, remember now, everything has to take place inside first, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? Out of the heart comes the issues of life, remember? And we told you the heart is the spirit of man. Proverbs 4:20-23, out of the heart comes the issue. So we don't even know what's in our heart because we've had experiences. You might have had losses and, you know, things that have happened that have challenged you, and fear is in there. You don't even know. But the beautiful thing about the word of God is that it delivers. God's word, you know, transforms. He says in John 6:63, my word is spirit and it is life, right? So as you put the word of God in, it sheds light. And so we don't even know what's hidden in us. And so if you sit down and you take the word and you go over all of these scriptures, you know, looking at them and understand, writing them down and taking notes, man, you would radically shift your inner consciousness. And then let's see what your testimony would be. Let's see what your testimony would be. All right. It is a commandment. I did that. It must be of a willing heart. 2 Corinthians 8:11-12. Exodus 35:5. Make it a choice and sincere offering. Genesis 4:3-5. Right? Make it a choice and let's be sincere. Malachi 1:7-8. And so that's free will offering. Now look at profit offering. Matthew 10:41. It is appreciating God for his grace upon his servant that he uses to minister to you. That's one. Number two, it is a commandment in acknowledgement of your being blessed through his servant or prophet. Romans 15:27, 1 Corinthians 9:11, Haggai 1:8. I love that Haggai scripture. That's the one where he tells them, he says, you know, all of you are running to your houses. All your houses are fabulous. You run into your father's houses, and my house is in ruins. He said, and you're wondering why when you're working, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you can read it on your own, Haggai 1. He said, and you're wondering why, how come, you know, you're working and you're working overtime and, you know, it's like you don't have anything, you know. He said, you're putting your money in a person's home. He said, you're bringing it home. He said, but I'm blowing on it. You know, you see people, right? They do double time, they do overtime, and they still can't make ends meet. Because why? You're trying to get extra money to fix up your house, but what are you doing in my house? Man, that Haggai is a bad scripture. You need to read that this afternoon and study it. He said, I'm blowing on it. How did you let people say, man, you know, you're putting the money, I'm working for it, I know where money's going, Uncle Sam taking all my money. Uncle Sam is saying, God blowing on it. Project offering. Haggai 1:8. Number one, it is a commandment to be involved in projects in God's house. Number two, being involved in God's project gives speed to your own project. Being involved in God's project gives speed to your own project. 1 Kings 9:10. 2 Chronicles 8:1. You see, these are things we don't understand. We don't understand the supernatural, you know. But we'll get it. We'll get it. Number four, welfare. It is also a commandment. Deuteronomy 15:7-11. Proverbs 19:17. Galatians 6:10. So we always ought to be giving to those in need, you know. That's welfare. Let's look at the third law. Law 3, the maturity stage. Because you sowed. Now let's look at the maturity stage. Galatians 6:9 of your scriptures. Mark 4:26-29. Number one, the due season is a function of your capacity to fill your financial cloud. The due season is a function of your capacity to fill your financial cloud. Ecclesiastes 11:3. Sign number two, financial prosperity is not magic. It is a walk. It takes time. Ecclesiastes 11:1. And listen to this, number three. God uses the maturing stage to assess your heart. Deuteronomy 8:2. God uses the maturing stage to assess your heart. You see that? So a lot of times people want things instantly, but there's a maturity stage. Just like when you put a seed in the ground, there's a maturity stage. You know, a driver, we had a program at church, and I called for an Uber. It's so funny. God is something. He doesn't have a sense of humor. And the Uber person who picked me up turned out to be, he was in the same service I was in. You know? And so he was chatting with me. He was from, you know, the home, the motherland, Nigeria, where our headquarters is. Since I was telling him I had been there and so forth and so on. And he said, you know, one of the things that he had heard Bishop Oyedepo say in a teaching that he had been to was that he was tithing for 6 years before he ever saw any results. And he had every reason to give up. But he just, you know, he was tithing for 6 years before he saw any results. But he never gave up. Never gave up. Never missed it. Never stopped. Never said, okay, look, I'm not doing it this month. Okay, no stop and start. He was tithing for 6 solid years, unbrokenly, before he ever saw anything that looked like a result. And he had, and during that 6 years, because you know how life is, right? During that 6 years, he had every reason to give up. Amen. Relational responsibilities for financial prosperity. Let's look at that real quick. Relational responsibilities for financial prosperity. Family relationships. 1 Timothy 5:8. Your money's not just for you. Help others. Family relationships. 1 Timothy 5:8. Your parents, earthly and spiritual. Ephesians 6:1-3. Proverbs 20:20, right? Employees, be fair to people under your employment. 10:7, Luke 10:7, Ephesians 6:9, Leviticus 19:13. Employers, don't take your employees for granted. Don't take your employees for granted. Mark 12:17. Access to financial liberty. Let's look at that now. Access to financial liberty. Number one is service. Exodus 23:25. Service is the gateway to kingdom abundance. Service begins by giving yourself to the things of God. It includes serving God with all that you have. It includes serving God with all your means. Exodus 10, 24 to 26. Exodus 10, 24 to 26. And let's look at Exodus 10, 24 to 26 very quickly. Finally, Pharaoh called for Moses. Go and worship the Lord, he said. Well, finally, Pharaoh called for Moses, right? So Pharaoh called Moses and said, go and worship the Lord. But leave your flocks and your herds here. You may even take your little ones with you. Verse 25, no, Moses said. You must provide us with animals for sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord our God. All our livestock must go with us too. Not a hoof can be left behind. We must choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from among these animals. And we won't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there. Man, that's fabulous. You need to go over that. That's in the New Living Translation. You hear what he said? You hear how specific it was? He's not like, okay, we're not just leaving. Because in those days, all of their cattle, you know, that was their wealth. So we're not just leaving. We're not leaving the animals. No, thank you for letting us go. But no, we're taking our animals. And we're not taking them because we're going to be hungry on the road. Check that out. You see, we're eating everything. You know, that's what we're doing. We're eating everything. We're wearing everything. We're weaving everything. But listen, listen to what Moses said. He said, no, because we've got to make sacrifices to the Lord our God from among these animals. And we won't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there. We won't know how. We won't know how. But we need our wealth. We need our wealth because God is going to call on us for something, and we need to be able to give. We need to be able to do it right. You see, a lot of us, we just want to throw things in the plate anyhow. Your heart is hard and tight. So if the preacher even say, we're doing a something project, you God can't even tell you to give extra because your mind done locked already. Or you done decide, I gave last time. He ain't giving nothing again. Meanwhile, you're the same one praying for prayer. Come on, the devil is a liar. Let's go on quickly. Kingdom addiction. Kingdom addiction. How do we access financial liberty? That first one I just shared with you was service. This one is kingdom addiction. Matthew 6:33. Kingdom addiction is an issue of the heart. Isaiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. Kingdom addiction is an attitude. An example is David, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2, Psalm 132, 1 to 5. Access to financial liberty, sacrifice, making sacrifice. Psalm 126, 1 to 6, sacrifice activates the covenant of prosperity. Psalm 50, verse 5 to 6. I just heard a testimony like that. Do I have that with me? He had HIV and just sowed a sacrificial seed along with praying kingdom advancing prayers and went back to be checked and it was gone. You see, these are mysteries we don't understand or we don't hear enough about. Access to financial liberty. The next one is obedience. Man, obedience is critical. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 12 are your scriptures. Obedience is the ticket for enjoying plenty. Job 36, 11. Luke 5, Luke chapter 5, and you can go, you should start from verse 1, just take it from 1 to 9, right? But this is obedience. Obedience is the key to everything. Exercise. Access to financial liberty, exercise. Hebrews 5:14, financial prosperity is not a once and for all thing. It is a practice. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, Philippians 4:16. So in other words, it's not just you give one time and you're done. This book was given for 6 steady years before he saw anything that looked like a return. Avenues of exercise for kingdom prosperity, avenues of exercise for kingdom prosperity, number one is giving, Malachi 3:8, Luke 6:38, Proverbs 11:24 to 26, working, Psalm 1 verse 3, and Proverbs 10 verse 4, thinking, Isaiah 30 verse 15, and Proverbs 23 verse 7. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? So as you think, God will give you divine ideas. Avenues of exercise for kingdom prosperity. Trusting, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. And Psalm 37, verse 5. Right? So we have to trust God. That's why we take time to go over all these scriptures. Faith will build up in you. Trust in God and what he has promised will build up in you. Because it requires trust to do that kind of giving. Avenues of exercise for kingdom prosperity number two, the second line, second set of avenues of exercise for kingdom prosperity, walking, Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. I'll read that so you get a better understanding. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Right? So after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He walked it out. It didn't happen at the moment. It didn't happen right away. Sometimes things come up right away. Sometimes you get things instantly. Some things you got to walk it out. You got to walk it out in faith. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You don't always know when your due season is. In fact, you don't know when your due season is. And that's why you commit yourself. That's why you commit yourself to a lifestyle, right? A kingdom lifestyle. The next avenue of exercise for kingdom prosperity is talking. Romans 10:10 and Isaiah 44:26. And finally, thanking. Thanking. Malachi 2:1-3. And Psalm 67:5-7. So you're never grumbling. You're never grumbling at what you don't have and, well, it should have happened by now. No, we've got to keep our hearts light in the matter. Uniqueness of kingdom prosperity, as we round up the final part of it now. Uniqueness of kingdom prosperity. Sorrow free. Proverbs 10, King of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Another translation says, and toiling does not increase. Right, so people think they're getting rich in six jobs and, you know, all the overtime in the world. That's fine. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not it. You know how they end up having to spend the money for their health or some other things keep breaking down. It's not designed that way. Uniqueness of kingdom prosperity, it is secured. When God is blessing you, nobody can take it. Job 1:9-10. It endures. These are the unique qualities of kingdom prosperity. It endures. Ecclesiastes 3:14 and Romans 11:29. And finally, it is progressive. Mashakosayeh. It grows. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is as a shining light that grows more and more onto the perfect day. Praise God. Woo! I blew through that, didn't I? Hallelujah. Well, made it just in time. So I wanted this to be documented so you can go back in if you're interested. Go over these scriptures, you know. Make time. Make it a project. I'm certainly doing that. Make it a project, you know. And it also puts you under the word. It gets you an opportunity to be underneath the word, to be under the word. You know, the more of the word that you're under, you can't go wrong. And so it's very, very important, very important. Let's do the salvation prayer and then we'll do a closing prayer. If you're under the sound of my voice and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so now. If you're not saved, you're not saved, and you don't have access to anything I just shared. It's not available to you. If you're under the sound of my voice and you knew Christ, but the road got long, you got discouraged, you got disconnected, it happens, we understand. But Jesus loves you, and he's calling you to come back home. So both groups, come, pray this prayer with me now. Dear Lord, I come to you today. You know my life. You know how I have lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sin. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, my physician and healer, my provider, who died for my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and live your life in me and through me. From this day forward, I belong to you. Bow your heads now as I pray with you. Father God, these are your children that you have brought to yourself this morning. No man comes, Lord, unless you draw them. And so, God, we recognize that you have drawn them this morning, and you have not just drawn them, you've drawn them to bless them. And so, Father God, we ask, oh God, that everything that they've heard will go deep into their hearts and minds and bring forth a mighty harvest of faith in their lives, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let the same grace that drew them, let that same grace continue to keep them until the end. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Well, welcome. You have just come home to the kingdom of our Father, Almighty God, and a change has taken place within you. So now you have to do your part. You have to pray and ask God to lead you to your church home. You belong somewhere. And it will be a church that teaches and preaches the uncompromised word of God. That's the word of faith. It will be a church that practices water baptism, as well as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when the altar call is made, you can feel free to go forward there as well and give your life to Christ. Amen? Amen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've got to go where they're teaching, to be where they're teaching. Come on, let's pray this prayer now. This is an important prayer, and so when you come back in, you need to make a record of this prayer and be praying this prayer. There's two of them, but I don't know if I'll have time for the two. But the prayer is, Father, in the name of Jesus, and do Father, in the name of Jesus, let's make it personal. Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of obedience to prophetic instruction for my supernatural turnarounds this year. Many of you, you're drying up because you don't obey instructions. You want to do what's in your head. You want to reason it out. And the devil will have you reasoning it out wrongly. But come on, let's pray this prayer. And the anchor scripture is Luke 5:5-8. I don't have time to read it, but that's that scripture where Jesus got into Peter's boat. He said, launch out. Peter said, well, you know, we've already been doing that. We've done that. That didn't work. But okay, since you said it, I'll do it. And then they went in and they got a boatload sinking boatload of fish, had to call other people to help them, right? And Peter, you could imagine how he felt. And I love his humility. He just fell down before the Lord and said, you know, God, depart from me. I'm unworthy, right? I'm unworthy. See anything like that. And then this beautiful thing happened. And then the Bible says, you know, when they came in, they forsook all and followed him. That's me. I have forsaken all to follow Christ. You know, you can't not. Nothing else matters to me, you know. Nothing. Everything else in my life is second to following Christ. Everything else is second. Come on. Let's pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, endue me with the spirit of obedience to prophetic instruction for my supernatural turnaround this year. That woman had breast cancer. But what did she do? She started praying kingdom advancement prayers. She prayed all 60 of them. Hello? She prayed all 60 of them and then dragged her sick body out to tell people about Jesus. What happened? You see, they don't make sense. You're not making time to pray the prayers because it doesn't make sense to you. The devil is telling you got other things to do. What does this prayer have to do with you? I'm telling you what the prayer has to do with you. It's about you. Don't follow. You got to follow the prophetic instructions for supernatural turnaround. I was in here praying the other morning. The Lord said to me, you know what? He said, you're too comfortable for what you're looking for. I heard it clear as day. When you hear God, you can't act like you don't hear, you know. I was in here doing my prayers thing, blah, blah, blah. He said, he just passed through everything. He said, you're too comfortable for what you're looking for. Can I tell you, I flew out the house. Because my church, for the last couple of years, they have covenant hour from 6 to 7 a.m., right? And it's, you know, difficult. It's far from me. So I was like, okay, I can't do that 6 o'clock morning. So I'm doing my thing here. And then they added another one from 9 to 10. And I'm like, okay, I might be able to make that, fit that into my schedule. So this is Friday morning now. I had said I was going to go. And here I am praying. Just see the time. It was 7:02. The Holy Spirit spoke to me so clear. He said, you are too comfortable for what you're looking for. Can I tell you, I was out this house in like 30 seconds flat. I was out the house, jumped in the taxi. Man, I was there. And I've been running ever since. Every morning now, man, I'm at the 6 a.m. one. 6 a.m., I leave my house like 4. Because, you know, when you read these testimonies, folks are not just sitting down doing things comfortably. If you listen, and I told you guys, I gave you that assignment, you know, check it out. Google Shiloh testimonies. Start from 2012. Go back as far as you like. Do 2016. You will see how these, our brethren, our fellow brethren, across in the motherland, you see how they're getting these strange kind of testimonies I'm reading to us. They're not sitting down. Nobody's sitting down. Everybody's doing something. The couple I just told you about, looking for the fruit of the womb. Now, if you live in America or any, you know, this side of the world, you start looking for adoption. Nothing wrong with adoption. But you start thinking, okay, or then you start making up if it's his will, right? Remember that? That starts coming up in your head, if it's his will. Meanwhile, it's his will, but you're not obeying prophetic instructions because it seems too stupid to you. You don't have time. And so what happens? Another year goes by. Man, I ran out of this house like a bat out of hell. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray the prayer real quick. If you got to go, you got to go. You should know it by now. But come on, let's pray it. Father, in the name of Jesus, imbue me with the spirit of obedience to prophetic instruction for my supernatural turnaround this year. Come on, Father, in the name of Jesus, imbue me with the spirit of obedience to prophetic instruction for my supernatural turnaround this year. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, imbue me with the spirit of obedience to prophetic instruction for my supernatural turnaround this year. Let's begin to give him thanks for it. Lord, we thank you for it. Mighty God, we praise you for it. King of glory, we honor you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's take this one right real quick so I have it documented. If you want to go back in, you'll hear it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to take it the same way. Empower me for total obedience to scriptural instruction. You see, there are two. There's what the Bible's telling you to do, and then there's what the prophet that he's put in your life is telling you to do. So come on. But you see, some of you, the other thing, I've heard Bishop Ayers say this, and I understand it. Some of you are too familiar with your pastors. You're too familiar with your pastors. You're too familiar with the, you, and that's why you're not being blessed. That's why there's stagnation in your life. You're too familiar. When you get so familiar, you can't take any instruction from them. They become like a friend to you. These are anointed men and women of God that he has placed in your life. I don't get too close to none of them. I don't get too close to none of them. Because why? I don't want to be comfortable. Man, and Bishop Weber, he said this several times, but the thing hit me the other day. He said, you know, he said, watch familiarity. Because you see, when you get too close, when you start thinking, oh, for example, if somebody thinks, oh, is, well, that's just Hazel, you know, she's excited. She gets excited. Oh, child, let's listen to her. She gets so excited. Oh, I love listening to her. When you leave, you know, you're so uplifted. And so that's all they'll get. It's just uplifted. They won't have breakthroughs. They won't see anything turn. Because why? It's Hazel. You know, she's excited. And so some of you, it's your pastor. You know, they said, well, you know, yeah, but you know, he needs to. And you know too much of his business. You need to. You know too much of her business. You see what I'm saying? And so you cannot receive. These are things we need to understand. We don't understand these things. You don't receive because you think it's just them. It's just them. They're one of you. And so the anointing that's upon their lives cannot impact on you because why? You're too close to them. You're too familiar. The devil is a liar. Come on, let's pray this prayer quickly before we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, empower me for total obedience to scriptural instructions, thereby resulting in noiseless breakthroughs this year. Noiseless breakthroughs. Come on. Father, empower me for total obedience to scriptural instructions for my noiseless breakthroughs this year. And let's begin to give him thanks. Lord, we thank you for it. Mighty God, we praise you for it. King of glory, we worship you, we honor you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. The scriptures cannot be broken, John 10:35. And so the Bible tells you, a prophet has no honor in his own land. See? And so what is he saying? When you're too familiar. When he went to Nazareth, remember? That's Jesus. Come on, you know the carpenter's son. Get at it. He made our shells. What, he got wisdom now, and he could do no mighty works here. Everybody else getting healed, everybody else breaking through, but he could do no mighty work there because that shall not be you under the sound of my voice. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for everything that you shared. We thank you for the awesome testimonies that have come forth. We thank you, God, that you're mighty and that you're still at work. We lift you up, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. And, Lord, we lift up Mrs. Myers, one dear to my heart. And, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for her divine healing. We thank you, oh God, for your healing power flowing through Mrs. Myers from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. We thank you, oh God. We thank you for your light piercing through every cell, every tissue, every fiber of her being. We thank you, oh God, for strengthening her. We thank you, oh God, for restoring her. We thank you, oh God, for renewing her. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As you go, Don't just go alone. You're not going alone. Know that the Holy Spirit is going before you. As you go, I decree and I declare flowing in your life. Everything is flowing for your good. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare favor locates you today. Favor in your business. Favor in your career. Favor in your finances. In the mighty name of Jesus, because you're in a covenant to serve this loving God, because you're in a covenant to seek after this God, in the name of Jesus, I decree for you all-round rest in every area of your life, all-round rest. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that your children shall make you proud. Your children shall be mighty men and women of valor. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that everything is working for your good. You know, Joseph, man, everything was working for his good. It didn't look like it. It didn't look like it. They sold him into slavery. But guess what? They were sending him ahead to be in the land that would eventually deliver them. It didn't look like it when Pharaoh's wife lied and he ended up in prison. You know what I'm saying? He was in prison. It wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking good. I don't know what's in your life today that's not looking good. I don't know what's in your life today that's looking like everything is against you. But because you're a child of God, because you're a child of God, you are under the covenant. You're under the blood. And everything is working for your good. Listen, nothing works for his good. When he interpreted the dreams, right, for the baker and the butler. And then he told one of them, he said, hey, you know, when you get out, remember me to the king. You know, remember me. The dude got out, didn't remember him. That happens, right? Your friends, they go off to wherever they go off to. They don't remember you. They don't help you. They don't reach out for you. Then nobody's looking for you, right? But guess what? It was okay. Because if the guy had remembered him at that time and he had gotten out, he would have been out. But the guy forgot, divinely forgot. But at the appointed time when Pharaoh was in trouble, they needed somebody. And that was then, that was the time that they called for Joseph. Mighty God. They called for Joseph. And what happened? Everybody was saluting him. Potiphar had to salute him. Potiphar, who put him in jail, had to salute him. Everybody had to salute. He became the top of the top. God's word will never fail. He said, if you obey me, believe me, obey my commands. He said, I will set you on high above all nations of the earth. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the Lord your God. That means believe his word. So shall you be established. You'll be rooted. You won't be moved all over the place. And then he said, believe your prophets. So shall you prosper. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. God's word will never lie. God's word will never lie. So everything is working for your good, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like, I decree and I declare victory for you today. Victory in your health. Victory in your finances, victory in your career, victory in your business, victory in everything that you put your hands to. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Come on, let's say it together. I have dominion. That is my heritage in Christ. And I take dominion. That is my vow from this time onward. Congratulations. Amen and amen. You are blessed. I love you.
If this ministry is a blessing to you, become our partner. Visit HazelGoodmanMinistries.com and sow your love offering. You will be richly blessed. Jesus is Lord.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa,
I'm dancing for
sing it like you believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign.
Born to reign life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na, 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 woyo. I'm no ordinary, ordinary. No, 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 no.
Yeah.